Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Spousal Privilege Podcast. I am your host, Frank Hines, and I'm here with my wife, Alexis Hines. How you doing?
Well, I'm stuck in a dark room, our office. Yeah. We have no lights on.
It is dark in here.
And I'm in a dungeon.
Turn that light on, maybe.
I'm good.
Okay.
As long as I'm not being held captive.
No, you're free to leave.
Okay, but good.
After we finish recording.
Okay, good.
Well, everyone, we have a jam-packed episode for you all today. We are introducing yet another new segment titled This or That. It's a very interesting concept. Really, how it's going to go is there's going to be a question, and the question is going to have two options, and Alexis and I are going to pick this one or that one.
Thank you for explaining that.
You're very welcome.
I was very confused.
Well, it
is confusing.
Do you
choose this or that?
And
what is that or this?
We'll find out.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
So today we are also going to be talking about the roles of a husband and a wife. We are going to be talking about moving in together, our opinions, our experience, all the drama that goes with that. And then we are going to be talking about how to overcome your past and to talk about your past.
That's right.
With your partner. So it should be a very riveting episode.
That's right. Stay tuned. There's a lot to come. So we're just going to dive right in. Everyone, buckle up and get ready. Welcome to This or That with Alexis and Frank. You know what? I really want like a sound that comes in with all our different segments. That would be so cool.
Well, get right on that, baby.
Well, I don't know how to do it,
well,
but I'll figure it out. Okay. But wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, I have faith in you.
Okay. Well, This or That. Here we go. This is a brand new segment, and we're just going to jump on in. The this or that question today is, do you want to owe money or owe a favor?
Yes.
So essentially, you have to either owe someone money or you have to owe someone a favor.
Yep.
Do you want to go first?
Yes. I would choose owe money.
Would you really?
Okay. Think about this.
Okay.
You owe someone a favor. You have no idea what that favor is.
Well, you're right.
None.
And we're assuming you have to do
either. You have to.
Right.
Or you die.
Right.
It is life and death.
Or you die. Okay. Okay.
And so
in the same situation with the money too, I guess.
I mean, I know a lot of people owe money.
Okay.
And that's just the sad reality that the world
but
is.
But it's like, it's more so if you owe your friend money or you owe your friend a favor.
But what friend? They can turn on you.
Okay, well, let's say it's your best friend.
I don't know. Okay. My best friend could ask for a very crazy favor.
Okay.
And so...
That's true.
Yeah, it is.
So you'd rather owe her money?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So you would rather owe money?
No, you said you owe money.
Oh, yeah. So you'd rather owe a favor?
Yeah, I would rather owe a favor. But hold on. So what... Does it matter how much money it is?
Nope. Okay. Here is the thing. You owe someone a favor.
Yeah.
You have no idea the consequences that could come of that favor.
You're right.
None.
All right. So then, interesting. I really thought you were going to go with favor. So what if it's $1,000?
Okay.
Or you have to watch your friend's dog every weekend for a month.
That's the favor?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, here's the thing. I don't want to owe a favor.
All right. That's
because,
fair.
Like, you have no idea. I mean, what if long down the road, you are in your career, you are in the height of your life, and then, boom, someone, Bob from whatever, comes in and is like, hey, remember that favor that you owe me?
Yeah.
And it just derails your life because you have to either just swallow whatever morals you have or you have to... I don't know, commit a crime. I mean, you have to owe them a favor. You're not a person of your word, then we go into a whole other
situation. I'm a bit concerned with the types of favors that people have asked me in the past. Because the level of weight that you're putting on this favor seems high.
I mean, but you just don't know.
You're right. You don't know.
What if you're in a political office?
Yeah.
You always wanted me to go into politics.
Yeah.
What if I'm in a political office and somebody comes in and it's like, Alexis, remember, you owed me mm-hmm. this favor.
That's right.
And then boom, life destroyed.
Life destroyed. Okay. So back to how much or how big the money or favor is. Let's say you owe someone $20.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have to drive an hour and a half and go pick them up.
Okay, but it's not
about that.
No,
which one would you rather do? Just which one? Which one? And I'm not trying to... It's okay. Whichever one you pick. You can go against what you said in the beginning.
I'll go and pick them up.
You real? Yep. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But here's the thing. You just don't know. And with money, if you owe money, you know how much money you owe.
Yeah.
It is always there. You know, if you're in debt, you know how much you're in debt.
Yeah.
If you owe $20, you know that you have to repay that $20.
Right.
You don't know the favor. You do not know the favor. And people are crazy. Okay.
I would rather owe someone a favor 1,000 times over. And here's why. I don't know if you've ever owed someone money before, but if you owe a person money, it's so awkward every time you're around them if you haven't given them the money. That's why a very wise rule that I believe everyone should follow is never borrow money from friends or family because it causes a plethora of issues.
But the favor could
you're right.
just derail everything.
You're right.
And then there's this constant like battle of, oh, but I'm like, I have to owe them something.
Yeah.
They just, you don't know what it is. The suspense. I cannot live in that much suspense.
I
would know how much money I owed.
Yeah.
And I pay off all my debts.
That's true, yeah. Right.
So, for me, that's not an issue.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody's like, Alexis, remember that favor that I did for you? Well, now it's your turn to do the same.
I ask again, what are you asking your friends to do? I mean, this seems like something we should really get into. I mean,
never tell.
Fair enough. I do think that the severity of it does matter. Now, in your case... Okay, if someone's asking me to go kill somebody, then maybe I'll owe someone money. Okay,
but now, you can't change.
You're right.
This is this or that. You cannot change your answer.
You're right. But
exactly. Man. That's exactly my point. You can never owe a favor because what if they become deranged and unhinged and they're like, you have to do something that is criminal and that is not good.
That's right. Now you owe...
Well, what are you going to do?
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
It's either do or be killed. Like, and I don't want to be killed.
All right. Well, in your scenario, if you owe a drug cartel $1 million, they'll kill you too.
So I'm screwed so you're, either
yeah,
way.
Yeah. We had a good run.
Well... Well, okay, then why in your scenario am I owing the drug cartel $1 million?
I don't know, because your scenario, every friend you have is asking for the world from you, and they're waiting till you get into public office to do it.
Well, it's because they know I'm a good friend.
Oh, okay.
And that I would do anything for my good friends.
Hmm. Now, this is an interesting debate.
Okay, so you're telling me you would rather owe money.
Yeah. All right, now let's keep it on low scale. Low scale, okay. $20 or go let your friend's dog out. Which one are you picking?
I would let the dog out.
You would let the dog out. So you would owe someone $20.
Yeah.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Like, other people let our dogs out, so I should go let somebody else's dog out.
Right.
It's fair.
That is. Yeah, you're right.
If I owe somebody $20, then they'll get it.
That's right. Wow.
You can always repay back the money with actual cash.
Mm-hmm.
You can't always return a favor in good moral standing.
No, you can't. Right. Most of the favors that people ask of us, though, are not life or death. Which, I mean, that's a good thing. Maybe that's because of the people we hang around.
Well,
hopefully they don't starve.
No, but I'm just speaking hypothetically, okay?
Yeah, hypothetically. I mean, we could be asked to do an absurd amount of stuff. I mean, people could ask us to go swim with the sharks.
Well, people do that for fun.
I know, in cages, though. They're safe.
Who would go ask us to swim with sharks?
I don't know.
What kind of favor is that? What benefit is that doing anybody? No one. Get out of here. Your favors don't even make sense.
Well, what if they
Why would the drug cartel ask me for $1 million? All right. Why am I owing them?
Okay, here's the scenario. Okay, you are out at sea with your friend, and you owe this friend a favor.
Well, who's the friend?
Your second best friend.
Okay.
Whoever that may be.
Okay.
They drop their phone in the ocean. You are deep at sea. And they say, Alexis, I'm calling in the favor. Swim down and get my phone.
But the phone's done.
Yep, there's scuba gear.
Okay, so why?
So are you going swimming with the fishes?
I have scuba gear?
Yeah, you have scuba gear.
Why not?
Okay, all right. Okay.
You could see some amazing things.
That's very interesting. I did not expect that.
Really?
Yeah. No, not at all.
Wow. Well, you learn something new every day.
You really do. You really do. This or that.
I really like this.
I do too. This is a good segment.
I like this, not that.
Oh, yeah. Well, that is true. So, final verdict. You're taking the favor. You're taking the money.
I would rather owe money.
You'd rather owe money. Yep. I'd rather owe a favor.
You're ridiculous.
I don't think so.
Well, one day when you don't show up, I'm going to know it's because you owed someone a favor.
Well... That's
and
right.
You know what? I will still say, I told you so. And I will remember this. And I will play this.
It'll be on my gravestone, on my tombstone.
Yes. Frank Bone Hines III.
I told you so.
Love, Alexis. That's it.
All right. Well, I think we beat this one to death. You ready to move on?
Nope.
Okay. The past is a touchy subject when it comes to relationships. Do you agree?
A slippery slope.
It is.
Down a black diamond.
Very true.
Into the abyss.
Have you ever skied a black diamond? No, you don't like skiing, do you?
No.
Oh, man.
I would rather, like, hang out in the hot tub or at the lodge.
At the lodge?
Yeah, I'm not a ski type of gal.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Okay. Anyways.
So that's a little bit into your past, right? Clearly, you've never been skiing.
I've skied once.
So, more specifically, when we talk about past, I think when we talk about past in relationships, the thought immediately goes to, who you've dated before, your sexual partners, and different things like that. And that's kind of where we want to stick with for now. Different things that have impacted who we are today and about what's gone on in our previous relationships to make us the perfect couple in our eyes.
Okay, there we go. I was about to say, maybe those are some big shoes.
Yeah, in our eyes.
Yeah,
right?
Well, yeah.
We still wear contacts, but...
I wear contacts.
I know.
Get out of here.
All right.
So. Okay. So the past, that used to be something that I didn't like to talk about.
Right.
Because I think for me, there was a lot of shame, a lot of just uncomfortable situations that I really didn't want to bring up, especially because, I think as people, we grow or we should be growing. And once you find the person that you know you're going to spend your life with, hopefully you're not the same person as you were in past relationships.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's like you're having to dig up who you were.
Right. That's for sure. And an age-old saying is that your past doesn't define you, but I do think that it shapes you into who you are.
Yeah.
And allowing that to happen is good. Learning from your past, growing, and making yourself better in the future is really what it's all about.
Yeah.
I mean, in anything that you've done, I mean, there's always failure. There's always things that you could have done better. And making sure that you're taking inventory of those things, understanding what went wrong and how to improve goes a really long way. But the issue I think a lot of people have, and an issue that I had for a really long time, was not understanding the things that I was doing wrong or the decisions that I was making. But in this context regarding relationships, you know, I would fall into the same traps. I would try and be around similar types of people, right? And I would always get the same result. I would never.
So you were insane.
Well, yeah. That,
you know,
I mean,
doing the same thing over and over,
yeah,
expecting different results. That, so you were insane.
That's exactly right.
I knew it.
Yes, exactly. So, in not making those critical changes to the people that I would choose to have in my life, continue to bring me the same results, continue to bring the hurt, the pain, the being let down, not being satisfied, all those things. So that's where I feel like when we met, a lot of that stuff had changed. I had been in the process of changing that stuff for me personally, but then also we allowed each other to change,
mm-hmm,
as we've grown together.
Yeah. Well, and I think when it's the past, something that we did that I think really helped us,
mm-hmm,
was we talked about the major, like the major things that we went through.
Yeah.
And the major, I guess, major people that were in our past lives.
Right.
But it never really went beyond that. And I think we both came to an understanding that it didn't need to.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't need to know. I mean, I still don't even know the last name. Or even, I only know one first name of one of your ex-girlfriends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know what they look like. I don't know anything. And not to say, like, that everyone should do that. But for me personally,
yeah,
that was the best thing I could have done, because I'm not sitting here overanalyzing myself, overanalyzing our relationship, or obsessing over something that doesn't matter in our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
right,
I think we just left it like, this is what happened. And we made sure we were comfortable about all the questions that we wanted to know about each other's past, and we were really satisfied with that.
Yes, that's exactly right. And, you know, I think that it is important to discuss the past with your partner, because there can be certain things that come up throughout your relationship that you may be doing, that one person in the relationship might be doing, that can set someone else off. And it doesn't have to do anything with you specifically, but it could be like a trigger, or it could be something that happened in a previous relationship with the other, with your partner, that they just don't know, that really sets them off, and then you do it, and then it's this whole big ordeal. So kind of understanding the past and being able to have those conversations and really open yourself up to being vulnerable can go a long way.
Well, and I think you have to look at, like, why. I mean, why do you need to know the every single,
well,
painful detail?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be every single detail.
No. And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, whenever you're talking about the past, like, why do you want to know every single person that's been in their past?
Yeah, right.
Or why do you want
right.
to do this? And is it because of your own personal reasons, like, that you want to, I don't know, maybe you're wanting to compare something,
yeah,
or you're wanting to, I don't know, whatever it is. I think that you have to look at it as you need the big picture as,
mm-hmm,
to why, like you said, why they're shaped the way they are and what's happened. And then once you reach a point where you're comfortable, I think you have to come to an understanding where it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And when you're with somebody that feels right, and you're with someone that you think you want to spend your life with, the past becomes less relevant, and it becomes more about what's going on in the present and what's going on with the person that you're with now. So focusing on growing from your past, but then also focusing on the present and what you're bringing to your current partner and what they're bringing to you is where the real magic lies, and where a lot of change can be made, or at least that's, I feel like, where a lot of change was made for us. In your past relationships, did you feel like that you had conversations like we've had?
No, not like what we've had.
Right.
But I think I almost downplayed the past because I didn't want to deal with it.
You mean when you were with other people?
Yeah.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, or, but also I hadn't healed from certain things that I've gone through. And so it's like I gravitated towards all similar people, like you were saying. Like, it was almost like going from one thing to the very exact same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And so for me, it was important to start learning to forgive and just let go of my past.
Well, and that's a typical pattern that we all fall in just as people, is going back to what's comfortable, going back to what we know, and we're attracted to that. And it takes a lot of courage, and it takes a lot of willpower and want to go after something different and to make that change and transition, because it's scary. It really is. And
oh, I was terrified.
Yeah. I mean, the unknown is just that. And we as people enjoy consistency and what's comfortable to us. But being able to make that transition is where the real change happens, and being able to understand and move forward from the decisions that we've made in our past, I really believe are where real change happens for us as people. Yeah.
Well, and I think too, you have to set kind of not expectations, but in a way of like, this is what I want to know.
Yeah.
And I don't want to know anything further.
That's right.
Like for me, I don't need to know certain aspects of your past life, and I don't want to, because it's just going to, it's not going to be good for me.
Yeah, right.
And I mean, there are some people who do, like, for them to be able to sleep, they need to know everything. But, and you have to figure out when it's coming to your partner, what is your comfortability.
Exactly.
But you also have to understand that you cannot hold their past against them. Because I feel like that's a lot of what happens. It's like, oh, well, you did this in this relationship, so how are you different now?
It's exactly right.
And it's like,
that's not fair.
No. It's like, if you want to be forgiven of your past, you have to forgive your partner of theirs and not bring it up in some petty fight, basically.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, if I would encourage, if you do know a lot about your partner's past and you feel like you have done that or thrown it in their face or things like that, try to look at some similarities between different things. I mean, not everybody's the same and not everybody has had the same experiences, but we all can find similarities in the decisions that we made and in the things that haven't gone well in our lives. So being able to find those things and find common ground to be able to work through them instead of using it as ammunition the next time you're in an argument, I think is a really powerful tool. But one big thing I think that where we differed from our past, I think we had a lot of similarities, but was that I had lived with people that I was dating at the time and you had not.
Mm-mm.
You were big against that when we first brought it up after.
Oh, seeing that was something that I had to, like, basically take my own advice.
Yeah.
Because the last thing, and I think I remember telling you this, I was like, I don't want to be, oh, I did, because we got in a fight about it. Because I told you, I was like, I don't want to be just another girl.
Yeah.
Because you've lived with somebody.
Right,
and
right.
You got so mad because I wasn't another girl to you. But then, you know, after we, like, talked it out, I realized that.
Right.
But yeah, that was...
You did also say that you didn't want to move in together until we were engaged, which I think that's a fair point to make as well. I personally am a big fan of moving in with your significant other because for the sole reason, it allows you to get to know someone better than you ever will not living together. Now, some would argue that, well, he's always over at my place or I'm always over at his. And it's basically like we're living together now. And right, it might be that way, but it is not the same. And it won't ever be the same until you actually do it.
until you are waking up with them every single day.
That's right.
You go to sleep with them. They come home to you. You come home to them. And at first, it sounds like this, like, fairy tale. Like, yeah. Oh, we always get to be together. Ha, ha, ha. No. No. There are moments that I... Well, but here's the thing. I think we have a good balance because it's like whenever you're in the office and you're doing stuff, I mean, yeah, I'm like, hey, Frank, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? But most of the time... It's like I'm keeping myself busy because I know you're in here.
Exactly.
And I think understanding that no matter how much you love your partner, mm-hmm. every single person needs either some alone time or a place of their own.
I completely agree. The moving in together before marriage conversation can get – so, I mean, people have very deep-rooted opinions on that. And I grew up in an environment that supported not moving in together. Now, as I grew up, that kind of faded, and I don't think that my family really cared as much. But the reason that I'm so for it is because of the times that I had done it with previous people that I was in a relationship with. I found out very quickly that was not someone that I wanted to be in a relationship with, which I think is a good thing. I think finding that out.
I'm really glad to find that out personally.
I mean, I think finding that out as soon as possible is helpful. And
okay, but we're not saying like date for 6 weeks and move in.
Yeah, you're right. That is correct. Yeah, let's clarify. If you think this is someone that you want to spend the rest of your life with, I think that it is a good first step to making that clarification. Now, we had a unique situation moving in together, though, because we did so because of COVID. We kind of talked about this in the first episode, but to give a little bit more clarity on it, we decided to move in together. It was February, wasn't it? Or was it March? It was March. So COVID had kind of been happening, and Alexis had made the comment that, hey, I think that we should move in together.
No, it was my dad.
Well, you had kind of brought it up first, and then it was your dad.
Yeah.
Maybe he brought it up to you, and I didn't know.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
My father told you
mm-hmm.
that we should.
That was the reason that we did it, was because he brought it up, for sure, 100%. But you had mentioned it before, and I was like, eh, I don't know, because I just signed a lease with this other house, and it was only 6 months, so I only had until like June or July. Until I could move out anyway. So I was like, I don't know. I don't want to leave these people, you know, high and dry. And I wanted to just kind of pay out my lease and then we could figure it out. But with everything that was happening with COVID, this was right at the start of 2020. We were unsure of what was going to happen, if there was going to be, you know, lockdowns, or if there was, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen. So we made the decision to go ahead and move in together.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was one of the best decisions that we made.
I do agree. I concur.
Yeah.
I was super, because in my head, I envisioned not moving in
mm-hmm.
until you were married
mm-hmm.
because, well, for a lot of different reasons, but, I wanted it to be special whenever you got married. And that was like the really big thing that I was struggling with. And I think, you know, a lot of reflecting, a lot of prayer, all of that stuff, I think, and some other personal things that we did, I think that whole feeling was restored
mm-hmm.
whenever we did get married.
Yeah.
And so for me, looking back, I wouldn't have done it any other way. And I don't regret it. And I do. I think it is one of the things that has brought us the closest besides marriage.
I agree. I 100% agree.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you learn every quirk,
mm-hmm.
quirk.
Yeah.
Yeah, that. Words are hard.
They are.
You learn every single, like, what their morning routine is. Do they even have a routine? Do they make their bed? Do they do the laundry? Like, what life really looks like outside of this honeymoon planning phase, because I could plan all day long of how our house would be or mm-hmm. how our life would be once we moved in. But it is a completely different story.
That's right.
Once you move in with somebody.
That's exactly right. And I think moving into the last little bit here, I think that that's once you move in with someone, that's kind of when the roles of the relationship start to come out. Because up to that point, I mean, there are some aspects of it, you know, it's like, who is the emotional one? Who is the one who is tough? Who's the one that's the planner? Different things like that. Those can kind of come out. But as you start to understand someone more closely after moving in with them, those things really start to evolve more. You start to understand compromise. You start to understand what the other needs a little bit more, and being able to evolve into those roles in your relationship, I think, starts once you move in together.
Yeah. I think that the roles, I also think they evolve.
Yeah.
And I think that, okay, so for example, like the whole emotional one, we all know that I'm the emotional one mm-hmm. of us. But I think since we've been living together, we spend more time, I think you've gotten more in tune with your emotions.
I most certainly have. Yes, I definitely have.
And so I think the good qualities rub off, but I do think if you're not careful, then bad qualities can rub off
right.
too.
For sure.
And so it has to be a very common balance.
So how do you think we defined our roles after we moved in together? Do you think it just happened naturally?
I think we didn't define our roles until we did premarital counseling.
Yeah.
Because for me personally, I didn't really know. I took a lot of what I saw my mom did around yeah. the house, and that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a lot of what I saw my dad do, and I expected you to do those.
Mm-hmm.
There was no really conversation. There was no, like, that's just what I expected.
Right.
And I think even that is a really slippery slope to go down.
It can be too, especially if you don't want your marriage to look like your parents' marriage.
Well, not only that, but it's like, okay, for example, my dad was a handyman.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, he would always fix things. He would always be out, like, doing the lawn, like, whatever. And I love you, my darling.
Hey, I fixed the garbage disposal twice now.
Okay, you have become a handyman, but I think it's because you kind of had to.
Yeah, right, right.
Because we had no choice.
I'm just learning more. But right. No, I am most certainly not
yeah.
what you would consider a handyman.
No, and so it's like I had to take that expectation. I was like, oh, the man is the handyman.
Yeah.
Or we'll do, like, my dad makes the bed every single morning no matter what.
Right.
Like, no matter what, no matter where he is, even if we're in a hotel room, he will make the bed. And I was like, oh, like, my dad does that. The guy does that. Frank, you need to make the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then quickly I've realized you don't make the bed every single morning.
Well, because you do sometimes.
Well, yeah.
Right.
But that's just how, like, things have evolved.
Yeah.
And just different expectations of roles and how it plays out. Or, like, my mom, bless her heart, did the laundry, and she was the one who did the bills
mm-hmm.
and did majority of the cleaning. And it's like, so I have to do the laundry, the bills, the majority of the cleaning. And it wasn't until I think we were halfway through premarital counseling where I realized that if I were to ask you for help for those things, I would feel like I'm failing.
Mm.
And it's because that's what I saw. And I
right.
saw my mom do it. And I mean, I don't know. She probably had really hard days where she felt overwhelmed. But it's like, I didn't know I could ask you for help.
Yeah. And I also think it's important to understand yourself and understand what is important to you in the roles around the house. Because if you don't understand yourself and if you don't understand what things are important to you, then it's hard to relay that to your partner. It's hard to know what parts of the house. Like, I think, so bills is a good example. I think that if I were to be in charge of the bills, you wouldn't like that because it gives you a sense of peace. It gives you a sense of control to know that all that's taken care of.
Correct.
And to know that you're doing it, which is fine.
Yeah, you would have, which, and it's funny because, like, everything's on auto pay, but I still, like, literally the end and beginning of every month,
yeah.
I make sure that everything is paid because
right.
I cannot sleep at night
yeah.
if if I know something's not paid for,
right,
I will not be okay.
Right.
Exactly, because I would rather, well, that's very interesting with the owe money, owe. Never mind.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, that is true. That is true. We've come full circle.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, but you did hint to it about our premarital counseling. We did have a very, I think, in-depth conversation about what roles were important to us, how we were going to define our roles in the house, and knowing what each other, what we wanted each other to be responsible for.
Right. Well, and I also kind of want to go into like the roles of a husband versus wife.
Yeah. Okay.
Because, well, and so for our background and what we believe, you know, the root of our roles come from a biblical sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so regardless of whatever you are defining your roles, I think you need to look at either examples or philosophies.
Yeah.
Like whatever is rooted into why does a wife do this?
Yeah.
Why does a husband, man, do this? And I think it's important to understand where those come from.
Well, and I think it also goes back to different things that make yourself individually better. I mean, you look at people who seem like they have it all together, or you look at someone who you want to be like, and you try to do what they're doing. And it's the same thing in a relationship. Find, you know, a marriage, find a couple that you think is doing really well and ask them, or figure out what they're doing that makes them put off that energy.
Right.
And try to copy that.
Right. Well, and like going back to the roles for,
mm-hmm.
for me, that was like the most life-changing thing.
Yeah.
I think whenever you are married and at the end of the day, your role as husband and wife is to sacrifice and elevate each other up.
Yeah.
No matter, I mean, a husband does that and a woman does that,
right,
or a wife does that. And so it's like, once you start looking at that, whether it's a disagreement or just a simple task, I like a lot of the time reflect, does this elevate you?
Mm-hmm.
Does this make you feel secure?
Right.
Does it make you feel like honored and stuff like that? I think whenever you have such a strong foundation of what your role is, then everything else makes sense.
Exactly.
It makes sense why, you know, you do your partner's laundry, or why you take out the trash, or because everything that you do is elevating your partner before yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And once you're in a, like a healthy marriage, then you're both just elevating each other. And so there's never this, oh, like I feel like I do so much more, and I feel like I'm always the one sacrificing, because you're both doing it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it always putting your partner first. And even though it's not something that anybody can do perfectly or every single time, but if you move into your decisions around your marriage and around your relationships with the lens of how does this elevate the other person? How am I lifting up the other person with this decision? I think that you'll see a lot healthier marriage and a lot healthier relationships come from that.
Right. But I also want to stress that like we grew into these roles once we were married.
And we're still growing into
them. Right.
Yes.
But it's like I did not have the role of a wife.
Yeah.
Until I became a wife.
That's right.
And I think that is really important because these are the roles that we were designed to have,
mm-hmm.
once we became a husband and a wife.
Mm-hmm.
You have a different role when you're a fiance or a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a friend.
Yeah.
It's not, you can't just be a girlfriend and then automatically be doing what a role of a wife is.
That's
it
right.
will not work. And it will always leave you dissatisfied, because
mm-hmm.
that is not who you are yet.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
That's right. That's right. We can't try to move faster, or we can't try to put ourselves in a situation that our life hasn't, when it hasn't happened yet.
Right. And I think
essentially.
And I think that is just really important, because I mean, you hear a lot of the time, like in all these self-help books, like
yeah.
don't don't do wife things if you're not a wife, and don't do, you know,
right.
if you haven't earned, like, quote unquote, earned the title of being a wife. But it's so much deeper than that, because once you do become that person, then you understand and you grasp what it actually means to be a husband or a wife. Just like if you're in a relationship and you're a girlfriend or a boyfriend, like, you can still be trying to practice or get to the point of learning how to sacrifice. And I think that is the whole point of dating, is to learn how to get to the role where you're headed.
That's right. Wow. That was good.
Thank you.
I like that a lot.
Maybe I'll write a book one day.
You should.
It's great.
That's awesome.
I used to want to.
I think you could write a book. You're good with writing and good with words and stuff.
Well, y'all slide into my DMs if I should write a book.
Yeah, let her know.
I'm going to call it My DMs.
Maybe we'll work on the title.
No, I like that. My DMs by Alexis Hines.
Well, everybody, thank you all so much for hanging out with us today. Make sure to leave a review, 5 stars. Follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, @spousalpriv. And
slide into our DMs.
Slide into our DMs. That's right.
With either book recommendations, apparently.
Yeah.
Or just comments, what you want to hear on the episode, what you thought. Share it with all your friends. It would mean the absolute world to us.
That's right. We thank you all so much, and we will see you guys next week.
Yes. See you guys next week.